Now for the good news, Brooke Jim.
Kira Bosai, if we can, call everybody to attention. Okay, we have a really nice sugya today, Virs Hashem, I hope so. Now this sugya, which is on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, and you'll see about, it starts about five lines down from the top, is here in Zvachim, and it's a Kodshim sugya. But it also touches on other areas of Shas, especially Nedarim. Now, the name of this sugya, which I'm going to write on the board, is called Tfos Loshon Rishon. And what this means is that a man says two things, he makes two declarations that seem to contradict each other. And the principle, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Tfos Lashon Rishon. Now, here's the deal. Ostensibly, a behema could become either an Ola or a Shlomim. It can't be both. Ola and Shlomim are two distinct categories in Kodshim. And this man makes a statement that he wants it to be Ola and Shlomim. The case is what's called Tmura. So Tmura means that he has two behemoths in front of him. One is Ola and one is Shlomim. And he looks at this other behemoth, which is a behemoth Schulin, and he points to it. And he says, Harezu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim. Now the deal in Tmura is that although he's not allowed to do this, and he violates a law, but nevertheless, the Torah recognizes this process, but only one directional, right? In other words, it means that the original Kodesh remains Kodesh, nothing changes on that, but he's able to graft on the Kedusha on this Behemah Schulin. Now in this case, where he says Harezu Tmuras Ola and Harezu Tmuras Shlomim at the same Behemah, we're caught in the bind, because it's either or, it can't be both. So on this issue, we have machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Later on, the Gemara is going to identify Rabbi Meir with another shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And the shita of Rabbi Yehuda is what happens if a person has a coin, has a machshava, both chutzlus mano, which generates pigul, and chutzlum komo. So he has both machshavos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, tfos loshon rishon, which means that if first he had a machshava chutzle zmano, it becomes pigul, and later on when he has a machshava chutzle komo, that machshava doesn't register at all, because tfos loshon rishon.
If it, there is the possibility of doing two lavim together.
Well, you know, you could violate two lavim. Are we talking about the Tmura case, or are we talking about the Pigul case?
The Pigul. Let's start with the
Pigul. So again, the Chachamim say that if a person, and then we'll get to Rabbi Yehuda, that if a person has two machshavos, the Kohen has two machshavos, a machshavos chutzlus mano and a chutzlum komo, in such a case, the machshav of chutzlum komo registers, and as such, the carbon, although it's possible, is not Pigul, because machshavos chutzlum komo doesn't generate pigul. Only machshavas chutzus mano generates pigul. So Rabbanan say that when you have these two machshavos simultaneously, then we say that they sort of cancel each other out. When I mean to say cancel each other out, in other words, we take the lowest common denominator, which in this case is going to be a psul karbon because of chutzlum komo, but the chutzlum komo sort of nudges out the chutzlus mano, so there's no pigul. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says it depends what he had first. If he had the first machshava that he had was chutzlus mano, then that's koveya the carbon as pigul. And the fact that subsequently he has another machshava of chutzlum komo, that has no power to be oker the first machshava, which was chutzlus mano. So it remains pigul, and once pigul, that's it. It's pigul. And of course, the implication of pigul is that if you eat the basar, you chayv karis. Now, a similar concept to what came first, we have here in the case of Tmura, because he said, Harezu Tmuras Ola, Harezu Tmuras Shlomim. Now, wait a second. What is it? Is it Tmuras Ola or is it Tmuras Shlomim? It can't be both. The karma can't be both Ola and Shlomim. So here we have machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says, Tfos Lashon Rishon, which means that the first thing he says, the first enunciation that came out of his mouth was a rezut tmuras ola. So this carbon now becomes an ola. The fact that in the same breath he says harezu tumur shlamim, that doesn't register because it's already ola, and that's called tfos lashon rishon. The Gemara later on, as we'll see, is going to connect this Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you have two machshavos, the first one was a machshavas chutzul zman, it becomes pigul because it's tfos lashon rishon. But in any event, let's just focus for the time being on Rabbi Meir.
Wait, I'm not tfos lashon rishon.
Well, no, I'm about to present Rabbi Yossi's opinion.
Because
as I said, we have two shittas here.
Okay.
We have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Tmura, and then in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he had two machshavos, we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda against the Chacham.
Okay.
And then we're going to try to see to what extent we can match up these two machlokas in, are they one, are they same, are they different? So what's the shita of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi's shita is that when he says, Harezu Tmuras Ola, Harezu Tmuras Shlamim, what basically he was allowing himself the possibility to change his mind. We're not going to apply the principle of tfos lashon rishon. We're not going to say, well, the first thing that came out of his mouth was harezu tmuras ola. That's good for Rabbi Meir, but that's not good for Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, let's see it inside. Tnan hasa, we learned in a mishnah in Tmura, a man has two behemos kachim standing on his right. And he's got one behemos chulin standing on his left. The two behemos on his right, one of which is an ola, the other which is what? A shlamim. The omer, and he declares harezu. He turns towards the chulin, and he says it should be a tmuras ola, tmuras shlamim. Is according to Rabbi Meir harezu tmuras ola? It becomes an ola with all the dinim of ola. Why? Everybody together, let's get the choir. Tfos lashon rishon. Okay, that we hang on to the first thing that came out of his mouth. And that's what's going to generate the chalos. In this case, a chalos ola. And forget about what he said, tmura shlamim, because it can't be both at the same time.
And this is just Rabbi Yasser?
No, this is Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Divrei Rabbi Meir. Don't confuse me.
So,
just kidding.
And he holds the Tfos Lashon
Rishon. Right. Rabbi Meir is waving the flag of Tfos Lashon Rishon. We're going to soon see that even Rabbi Yossi really agrees fundamentally of Tfos Lashon Rishon, except that Rabbi Yossi has another principle. Okay, so this is one principle, and then there's another principle called Toch Kidei Dibur. Anybody know how to finish this up? Toch Kidei Dibur? Oh, excellent. But I meant something else. Anyway, Toch Kidei Dibur Kid Dibur Domi. Okay, and we'll explain what this means. And that's called Shom Alechem. Shom Alecha Avi Mori, or Rabbi Mori. So what it means is that if a man tries to say two things at the same time, which is physically impossible, if he says them immediately, one after the other, then we view it as if he said both. And we're going to integrate both. So imagine, Rabbi Meir is saying Tfos Lashon Rishon, the very split second that the man said, Harezu Tmuras Ola, stop. Before he says Tmura Shlomen, right? Stop in that fraction of a second. Then Tfos Lashon Rishon. It becomes an Ola. Gamar. Finito. Too late. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he says, wait a minute. The Halacha recognizes a concept called Tolkenei Dibur Kedibur Adami. And the man wanted to say Tmuras Ola, Tmura Shlomen. He couldn't say them both simultaneously. It's not like the Aseres HaDibros, where Hashem said all the Aseres HaDibros in one Dibur. We don't have, human beings don't have the possibility of doing that. So what the Halacha does is it allows for two things to be said simultaneously. What does that mean? Al pi Halacha, it's as if he said them both simultaneously, and that's called Tol Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami.
How can you tell? I mean,
So that's a good question. How do you know exactly what happened over here? But let's assume, just to make life easier for ourselves. And I really should have photocopied for you this page in the Tosefta, because he in the Masifta, because he really clarifies this point. He says, we're not going to do a psychological analysis. We're going to assume that when a man says two statements, one after the other, immediately, that's called talk to the deeper, that what he meant to do was to say them both at the same time. If, on the other hand, he makes a first statement, then he takes a deep breath, and then he makes a second statement, what we believe then is that he's changing his mind. That's called nimlach. Nimlach, right, means nun mem lamed chof, means he changed his mind. He wants to rescind his original statement, and that he can't do. So even Rabbi Yossi agrees that under certain circumstances, if there was no principle called tol kedei dibur kedibur dami, then we apply the rule of tfos lashon rishon, and it would become a tmuras ola. So if he said, I raise a tmuras ola, stop. You remember the old telegrams? I mean, they don't exist anymore, but the old people can, in the room here can remember those telegrams, and then it says stop, and they don't have periods in a telegram, they say stop. So if he stops for a second, and then he adds Harezu Tvur Shlomim, too late. Hu Icher Tavoeh, it's Geendik Amaisa and Fafal, and he already said Tvur Shlomim. But if he says Harezu Tvur Shlomim, Tvur Shlomim in one breath, then what he's trying to do, again, I don't mean it psychologically, I'm not interested in what he had as in mind, the halacha takes over here, and the halacha says what he's doing is he's making both statements simultaneously. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and he says, in a case of Tolkei Deidiva to Kedima Dami, we're not going to apply Tfos Lashon Rishon, we're going to take both statements as if he said them one. And what he meant, again, not what he meant psychologically, but what's halachically binding is that it's both a tmuras ola and a tmuras shlomim at the same time. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. We'll have to. That's going to be part of our work today. Can you have something that's an ola and a shlomim at the same time? Maybe it takes upon the chumras of both. I don't know. So let's read Rabbi Yossi now. Amar Rabbi Yossi, give me 1 minute just, Ben, to read the words, okay. Because a lot of what I say outside is only before I read the words. And then I read the words and I said, oh no, I slipped. Amar Rabbi Yossi, im lekach niskavi mitchila, which means the following, that if he said both, tmuras ola and tmuras shlomim in one fell swoop, which is called tokedei dibur kedibur, hoil since, I esha lahotzi shtei shneimos ka'achas, the human being doesn't have the capacity to recite two things simultaneously, and therefore he had to choose one over the other. But that's just a a matter of coincidence. In other words, he could have gone just the other. He could have just as easily said, "I raise it to a shlomim to a soul," and said shlomim first and then all a second. He's just trying to make them both at the same time. Again, when I say he's trying, I mean the halacha sees it that way because it was talking a dibur is dvarim kayomim. Now, dvarim kayomim is a very strange halacha because what it really means is that it's both a carbon ola and a carbon shlom at the same time. So let me just read to you quickly Masifta's summary here of Rashi. It's a short summary of Rashi. We can see it inside Belineder and Rashi too. He says, Eina ru'ila krova, you can't bring a behema on the Mizbeach when it's a schizophrenic behema. It's both an ola and a shlomim. Ella, what do we do in this case? Tira adshe yipo bo mum. We wait until the animal gets a mum, and then it's subject to pidyon. Now, he's poded the animal at 500. He yikne b'chatzi domeh behema shekrivali ola b'chatzi domeh l'shlamim. So he takes 250 out of the 500 and he buys a carbon ola, takes 250 out of the 500 and he buys a carbon shlamim. But for our purposes, Rabosai, what we're going to say, just to simplify and get the main depth of Rabbi Yossi, is that this carbon is both ola and shlomim at the same time by virtue of what principle?
Tokedei
dibur. That means he couldn't possibly be motzi shtei shemos ke'achas, but really, although technically he can't be motzi shtei shemos ke'achas, legally or halachically he could be motzi shtei shemos ke'achas, and basically he's making this both a carbon ola and a carbon shlomim at the same time. My footnote on this, which I don't know the answer to my question, why did the Gemara have to mention Rabbi Yossi in the case of Tmura? Why not just mention Rabbi Yossi and a person has an animal, one animal in front of him, and he says, Harezu ola, Harezu shlomim. I don't know why the Gemara needed tmura. I'm sure there's an answer to that, but I don't find that answer in my looking. And then just spend one minute. But if Misha Amar Rezu Tmuras Ola, if after he said Arezu Tmuras Ola, he took a deep breath, stop as I call it. Then it's considered when he says Arezu Tmur Shlomim Nimlach. What does Nimlach mean? That he changed his mind. Again, this has nothing to do with what's going on in his mind. Irrelevant. You can plug up his brain onto a computer and see what, you know, the electro, you know, the thing on his brain. It would be totally irrelevant. The halacha says that if he finished one amira of Arezu Tmuras Ola, then he starts another amira. And again, that means, how do I know he started a new amira? Because there was Tokede Dibra that passed by. Then Harezu Ola, and in this case, which principle is going to apply even according to Rabbi Yossi? Tfos Lashon Harishon. Yeah.
So, just in the context of Brachot, Tokede Dibra usually means if I started Brachot Agafen and then I finished Shakol, the second one, if I said second Tokede Dibra, it means I meant the second one. And not
correct. You're right. There are two dinim in Tokede Dibra. One of them is relevant to our Sigur, and the other is Lechora, at least at this stage, is not relevant to us. One din of Tokede Dibra is that the closeness in time, the proximity in time, makes it into a simultaneity. Legally, it's called simultaneity. It's a simultaneous. Do you follow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that really gives you one dibur. Instead of seeing it as two diburs, we see it as one dibur. There's a second halacha that Ben is pointing out called chazara, that we give a person a right, a privilege, to rescind his original position within a few seconds of time, called tokhidei dibur. Our sugya now is trying to figure out, Rabbi Yossi is trying to analyze the question, is it as if he said both Harezu Tmurasol and Harezu Tushlam at the same time? You know, you markiv one on top of the other, it's like a piggy, you know, piggyback. And it's not that this one came before that one or that one came, they're really on top of each other, Tmurasol and Tmurashlam. Again, humanly you can't say it, but halachically you can. Or was it after Kadei Dibur there was a stop between the two? Now we have two Diburs, and if we had two Diburs, then we apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon, it becomes a Tmuras Ola. And now we go back to whom? To Rabbi Meir. Let's go back to Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir holding? Rabbi Meir is holding that even in the case of Tol Kadei Dibur, Kedibur Dami, nevertheless I'm going to apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon, and it's Tmuras Ola. So even if he said, I raise it Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomo. Notice there was no fraction of a second that I stopped there. I raised it to Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomo. Even so, it's going to be Tmuras Ola. And the question is, did Rabbi Meir completely reject the principle of Tokedei Dibra to Kedibur Dami? For my purposes now, to make life easier, I'm going to assume that Rabbi Meir never knew about Tokedei Dibra to Kedibur Dami in the first halacha, the second halacha of Chazara, that's all over Shas. Nobody, you know, a witness can testify and then he can change his mind in the middle of his testimony as long as it didn't pass Tokedei Dibra Kedibur. That for sure, Rabbi Meir never questioned. But this new halacha, that Tokedei Dibra Kedibur puts the two Diburim together, collapses them, integrates them into one Dibur, as if he had said both Tur Shlom, Tur Zola, and I don't care which one came first, together, that Rabbi Meir never accepted. And therefore, Rabbi Meir holds that even without a pause, it's Dibur Aleph and Dibur Beis. If it's Dibur Aleph and Dibur Beis, then we apply the principle of Vat Tfos Lashon Rishon. Rabbi Yossi says no. It's not Dibur Aleph and Dibur Beis because it was Tokedei Dibur. That sews up the two Diburim, integrates them into one. And therefore, the karma now is both Ola and both Shlom. And that you rack your brains and figure out what you do in that case. Good. Don wanted to say something.
Because Rabbi Yossi assumes that there's no pause, and therefore he accepts.
No. He's saying that there. You know, don't give me. He's saying to Rabbi Meir, don't give me a flat statement, unqualified, as if to say it's always going to be Ola. No, that's not wrong. That's not right. It depends. It may be Ola, may not be Ola. Tell me what the facts are on the ground. If he immediately said Tmura Shlomim without taking a pause, then I'm not going to agree with you, Rabbi Meir. You're wrong. It's going to be both Tvuris Ola and Tvuris Shlomim. If, however, he took a pause, you know, we have to stand there with a clock, you know, boo, 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 see how many seconds went by, you know, say a stopwatch, then I agree with you, Rabbi Meir, he took a pause, it's two Diburim, and when they're two Diburim and they contradict each other, we're going to take the first Dibur and not the second Dibur.
How did they know here? Maybe this is just part of
the game. By the way, if you haven't noticed it, I'm very excited about this sukkah. The only thing is, I couldn't have answered Don's question yesterday. The earliest time I could have told you about this would have been about, let's say, about 5 a.m. this morning, when I finally decided this is the sukkah I want to learn. Yeah, guys.
We're up for 2 hours already doing chazara.
I know.
Hang in there.
But I just didn't want to call you at that, Alex. You know, at one point, you know, Don, your wife is going to say, I'd cut. You know, Berzon's calling you at 5 in the morning. That's it. You're dropping out of this year. That's it.
Give me your best question.
She'll be happy if you woke me at 5 in the morning.
Give me your best question for you. This is similar to what Ben said, but I just want to get it out of my head. Is this just part of the instance, or did they like ask the guy after this? How do they know he's not correcting himself?
Again, Shmuel, what's important for me, and I apologize, I didn't photocopy this, you know, but the Masifta writes explicitly, and he has sources for this, that we don't care what the guy had in mind.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. He can yell and scream from now till doomsday. All we have to know is, does the halacha view this as one dibur or two diburim? And what's going to determine A or B? Is it one dibur or two diburim? Did he take a pause or did he not take a pause? He may take a pause and say to you, I never meant to take a pause. I really wanted to say both at the end. Maybe he didn't take a pause and he said he changed his mind. He can yell and scream whatever he wants. No one's going to pay the last bit of attention to him. He's going to be like, Horton, here's a who. You know, nobody hears the who over there. Why? Because, not because it's kachin, because there are halachic principles that determine whether or not it's one dibur or it's two dibur. And what is that principle? Tol kidei dibur or liachar kidei dibur. And that's, we're standing there with the clock, with the summer. Moshe Taitanu? Okay. This is a beautiful sugya. Alright then? And it only gets better.
Oh.
It only gets better. Because Rabosai, why does it get better? Because although I think our presentation of Rabbi Yossi was very accurate and very, very fulfilling, but in Rabbi Meir, we may have fudged it a little. Not that anything we said was wrong per se, but maybe it was a little bit too superfluous. It was a little too flat. And life is more complicated than it looks on the outside. So what we said about Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Meir said he never accepted this Tokid Dibur, can Dibur Domi to unite and integrate two Diburim into one Dibur.
We had it before in the Gemara and Toslo Shandrishna, right?
I had it in the Dharim. I don't remember that we had it.
Guy had the wrong Kavana with, I think it was Rikata Dam. First it was for one korban, then for the next or something.
So you know what, Shmuel, do me a favor, only because I'm in a real... Right. I'm in a real, you know,
the
machinery is churning, you know, the wheels are turning here. So you look up that sugya.
He was a man who had two kavanas before.
Yeah, all right, you guys are great at this. I'm you know, I'm lucky if I understand like the one line in the Gemara that's in front of me. You guys have all of Shas in front of you. I'm amazed. I mean, I have another fellow my other shiur, Alan. He's got everything in mind. I'm learning a sugi. He's got gates on his back. I can't deal with it. And I'm with him now for 5 years. I still haven't. He doesn't get the message. You know what I'm saying? What's up with it? You know, let me understand the one line in front of me. You know, when I was in the Rav shiur, you know, that was a whole different thing. The Rav, when he gave shiur, he had no clue what Gemara was in front of him because he was learning all of Shas. You know, it was one body. So one time he says, get me a Gemara Gittin. Now, this is in the middle of the year. Get me a Gemara Gittin. Ready. We're learning Gittin. It's right in front of your nose. Completely oblivious that this is a true story. He didn't know what Gemara was in front of him. You know, to him, whatever the title was on the outside of the book, it was just coincidental. You know, it's just a jumping point to study Shas. We are learning Gittin. This is the middle of the year, as we've been studying Gittin for 6 months. Anyway. Well, so now we want to analyze Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara doesn't know. The Gemara vacillates back and forth about Rabbi Meir. Iboilu. You have it? So Gemara had the following suffix. Again, I'm not going to tell you where the place is because it's the very next word in the Gemara that we're up to. Ibailu. Harezu tmuras ola ushlamim mahu. Now the word mahu here means what's the deal? You have to add a little bit. Mahu aliba de Rabbi Meir. What would Rabbi Meir say about the following case? In other words, can we push Rabbi Meir's back against the wall, bless you, and finally get to the point where even Rabbi Meir would agree that it's one dibur? And what happened? He said, "Arezu tmuras ola ushlamin." What's the difference between this case and Rabbi Meir's case? There's only one word of a difference. Do you notice it?
The
vav. Vav instead of what? There's one word that he omits. Which word did he omit in the second case in the Bailahu?
Harizu.
Ola. Shlamin.
No. What are you talking about? In this case, it's Harizu Tmuras Ola Shlamin. What, you don't have that on your. You maybe the Oscar is a different text. I don't know.
Tmuras Shlamin.
Exactly. Yeah, he leaves out the second word Tmura. He has the first word Tmura, but not the second word. Instead of saying Arezu Tmuras Ola Arezu Tmuras Shlamim, he said Arezu Tmuras Olo Shlamim, leaving out the second Tmura. In other words, the Gemara now is raising the following possibility, that even Rabbi Meir could accept Rabbi Yossi's fundamental point that you could integrate two Diburim and make them into one Dibur. What bothered Rabbi Meir was that he saw here two diburim. His very choice of language indicates, again, I'm not talking psychologically, but in Hilchas Lashon, his Lashon indicates two diburim. Why? Because the full pronouncement of making something tmura is harezu tmura. And he used that announcement twice in the original case of Rabbi Meir. He said harezu tmuras. Ola, harezu tmuras, shlom. But if he said, he declared, harezu tmuras, ola ushlamim, now the word tmura goes on both, ola ushlamim, is it possible, raises the Gemara the question, that here even Rabbi Meir would agree that it's one dibur, and if it's one dibur, it's both ola ushlamim, and even Rabbi Meir would accept, he would confess, that Rabbi Yossi is right in this case. In other words, before we saw the boiler, we thought that according to Rabbi Meir, Chok v'lo yavar, there's no exception to the rule. This is a case of one this is a case of two diburim, right? Because we said that there's a contradiction here between Ol and Shlomim. There's one Dibur Harezu Tmuras Ol, another Dibur Harezu Tmuras Shlomim. So Rebbe says you have to choose one or the other. You can't integrate them into one Dibur. And therefore we have the principle of Tvos Lashon Rishon. Or do we say, no, you know what? Maybe Rebbe Meir only said this. And he got it. You know, you got into this tug of war here. Is it Ola or is it Shlomim? This contradiction, only because he used a full blast lashon of Tmura both for Ola and for Shlomim, that creates the tension, the tug of war. But if he used one lashon Tmura for both Ola and Shlomim, then even Rabbi Meir agrees that he is making it a tmura, this animal, this being a tmura for both these animals, both the old animal and the shlomim animal. Or do we say no? This is an absolute rule. And Rabbi Meir holds that no matter what, even if he combines both Ol and Shlom into one tmura, one lashon tmura, nevertheless, the lashon tmura is Ola on the Ola, and it's Ola on the Shlomim. It relates to the Ola separately and the Shlomim separately. When he says the word Ola, he has a full-fledged language of Tmuras Ola. Stop right there. It's Ola. It's false Lashon Rishon. There's no room, there's no maneuverability here, Rabbi Meir's favorite reference, to add Shlomim into the picture, because it's already Ola. Once the animal's an Ola, it can't become a Shlomim. You want to create both together. So Rabbi Meir says, no. He said Tmuras Ola, period. That's it. It's ball game over. Finito. So let's read the Gemara inside. Ibailahu harezu tmuras olu shlomim mahu. What should we say in this case? So I'll read to you the Masifta. Masifta says the following: the Halakha Masifta, right? I'm making fun of myself here. He says, "Ha'im ba'ofen ze yoder Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yosi shekol dvarav kayamim," and we accept both Ol and Shlomim, and Rabbi Yosi is absolutely correct here, and Rabbi Meir agrees to it. He admits to it. Shlo Omer Rabbi Meir tfos lashon rishon. When did Rabbi Meir apply the principle tfos lashon el ba'ofen? Shlo Omer tmuras Olah tmuras Shlomim. Shekevon his kir means he enunciated tevas tmura pamayim. He said it twice. Is therefore it's two separate diburim, and when you have two separate diburim and they contradict each other, they're mutually exclusive. Then we have to choose one of the two. Which one do we choose?
The first one.
Or shall we say no? That in this case, mode le what? Ah, I'm sorry, but alright. So again, since he said Tmuras twice, Tmuras Ol, Tmuras Shlom, that sets up two Diburim which are contradictory. We can accept the first Lashon and not the second. But in this case, where he only said Tmura once, Modil Rabbi Yossi, Shehu Dibur Echad, that this is one Dibur. I have something here in my own handwriting which I can't read, which is really embarrassing, because I tried to fit it in the small space here. Anyway, what I think I would have probably written, whether I did or not, I don't know, is that Modu Rabbi Yossi, that in this case, his Lashon is Mochiyat, that it's Chad Dibur. You know, the fact that he didn't repeat the word Tmura makes it into one Dibur.
Therefore, it's simultaneous, and therefore he has to sell it.
Yeah, the whole story.
But even linguistically,
it's both Shlomim and
Tmura, and then two items, and Tmura applies to both. It makes sense from a language
point of view. Right, the word Tmuras refers to both the Shlomim and the Ola. And he didn't separate them into two Diburim, and here the Harkov of both Tmuros in one entity gives birth to Rabbi Yossi, and here Rabbi Meir says Rabbi Yossi is absolutely right. O Dilma. Right, again, the Gemara vacillates about this. Comes along the Masifta, because the Gemara doesn't spell it out. And he says, no. Here, Rabbi Meir is going to continue to disagree with Rabbi Yossi, even in this case. Why? Because it's still considered what? Two Diburim. Now, in order to explain why this is two Diburim, let's analyze what he said. Hare zut muras ola. Right? That was the first four words that came out of his mouth in the Boilahu. So what happens as soon as he says the words Hare zut muras ola? Is anything lacking? Is there any deficiency in his declaration? It's a full-fledged declaration. And it's what we call a Lashon Gomer V'Shalem. What happens when you use a Lashon Tmura in a Lashon Shalem Gomer?
It's unambiguous and it parts for both.
But what's the result of that? No. What do you mean both? Don't say the word both. I'm going to get very nervous. Again, we're going now in the second side in the Boilahu, that in this case it still retains the status of two Diburim, and therefore it's only what? Ola.
Toughest Lashon Rishon.
Correct. And again, because what did he say? He said, Arezu Tmuras Ola. Now, I admit he did not repeat Tmuras Shlomim. So that would seem to indicate that, you know, we suck in the Shlomim into his original statement, like a vacuum cleaner, and make it into one Dibur. No. Because the very moment he said, Arezu Tmuras Shlomim in the infinitesimal world, that already does what, Rabosai? Since it's a full fledged Lashon of Tmura. No. Tofes Lashon Rishon is the mechanics of it, but I'm asking a different question. What happens again, we can't split the second here. You know, it's like splitting the atom. You know, let's say we could split the second. But if we could split the second, what happens at the very fraction of a second, infinitesimal part of a second, when he says, Arezu Tumuras Ola? That's a complete Lashon. Now, what happens as a result of the complete Lashon? Shucks, we lost them. All right,
accept.
Let's try it.
That's what he's bringing. So that was his intention.
That the chalos karbon ola, the kedushas ola is chal. That's what I wanted you to say. Do you follow? What's Rameyer's problem? What's his bone of contention here? One, you want it. You Rabbi Yossi want to be markiv. You want to integrate both kedushas. That's good if you can get them to be chal simultaneously. But if I already have a chalos kedushas ola, then there's no possibility under the heavens that you can attach a tmuras a kedusha shlamim. It's already ola. So comes along the second side of the Gemara Suffolk and says, wait a minute, you want to tell me he was saying both at the same time, but physically that's not true. And the language of harei zu tmuras ola before he adds that last word of ushlamim is a full-fledged language of Tmura, which generates what automatically?
Kedushas
Ola. Those are the two key words there, Kedushas Ola. Once the Kedushas Ola is Chal,
forget.
It makes it impossible to attach a Kedushas Shlom. You can't attach a Kedushas Shlom and Kedushas Ola. Even Rabbi Yossi was not trying to attach a Kedushas Shlom to a Kedushas Ola. He was trying to maintain that you can generate both Kedushas simultaneously by integrating the two Diburim into one. So there was one Dibur on Kedushas Ola and Kedushas Shlomim together, and therefore both Kedushas Achal, there was never a split second. It wasn't Bazachar Zeh, it was Bavasachas. Comes along the second side of the Gemara Suffolk and says, you know what? Even if his Lashon indicates that he wants both together, and he didn't have a separate dibur of Harezu Tmur Shlomim, even so, Rabbi Meir says, once he said Harezu Tmur Ola in the Reisha, the beginning part of his statement, the Kedushas Ola is Chal. And once the Kedushas Ola is Chal, it's always going to be Bazachar Zeh, one after the other. And you can't have, in a Bazachar Zeh, an attachment to clone Kedushas Shlomim onto something that has Kedushas Ola. So now the Gemara is vacillating back and forth. However, Abosai, the Gemara wants to now, and as I say, the plot goes thick, it gets more and more exciting, come up with a case where even Rabbi Meir could possibly accept that there's one Dibur and two Kedushos are going to be Chal simultaneously. And what's that case? He says the following. Chetzio Tmuras Ola, Chetzio Tmuras Shlom. He splits the animal into two. Not physically, not the way Shlomo Melech was going to do with the baby, but spiritually, meaning we look at this entity of a carbon, and we say that part of the carbon is for Ola, part is Shlom. That's the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lachtos mahu. Can he say that chetzio, half the animal, should be tmuras ola, the chetzio and half the animal should be tmuras shlomim? In this case, he's generating two kedushos, ola and shlomim, bevasachas, simultaneously. Would Rabbi Meir accept this case and be moded to Rabbi Yossi? Again, it could be you don't even have to go this far. There was one side of the Gemara that said that if he says Arezo Tmuras Ola Ushlamim without repeating the word Tmura, that enough would give Rabbi Meir room to accept the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and both of these Kedushas Achal simultaneously through the power of one single Dibur. But we weren't sure about that. So you know what? Let's be argumentative. Let's play the devil's advocate. Let's hold on to the position that Arezu Tmuras Ola Ushlamim. Rabbi Meir still argues with Rabbi Yossi and insists that there's a separate Dibur and Tfos Lashon Rishon. It was already Chal as Ola. You can't graft an additional Kedusha Shlom onto the Ola. But would Rabbi Meir at least agree in the case of Chetzio where he says half of the ola, half of this carbon should be what? Should be tmuras ola, and the other half should be a tmuras shlamin. Now he's splitting the animal into two, and the chalos kedusha of ola is chal on one half of the animal. I don't know which half, don't ask me. And the chalos kedusha of shlamin is chal on the other half of the animal. And now he could be mechil two kiddushos simultaneously with one dibur. And why is it one dibur? As soon as he says the word lachzos, then it's one dibur. Because he's saying chetzio would be ola and chetzio would be shlamin. And now we can bifurcate his amiras tmura and say half it goes this way to this half of the animal, the other half goes to the other half of the animal. And Omar Abaye says, "Beha vaday mod Rabbi Meir." You know, there's got to be a fundamental acceptance on the part of Rabbi Meir, validating the possibility that it could be both Ola and Shlomim at the same time, if and only if he has one dibur. So I have to grant you, says Abaye, that this suffix that you raised is not a suffix at all. For sure, if he says the word lachzos, then what he means is that with one dibur, he is generating two different kedushos, and we're not going to say tfos lashon rishon here, because there's no lashon rishon as far as the animal is concerned, because the animal has now half of it is the, shall I say, the target of ola, and the other half is the target of shlamin, and therefore it could be both ola and shlamin, half ola and half shlamin. Again, we're going to have to sell it and split the money, but here even Rabbi Meir is in the camp of Rabbi Yossi.
According to Abaye.
According to Abaye. Yeah, we're not ready for Rabbi yet, but according to Abaye. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, if you take a look about six lines down from the top of the page, it's the Dibra Maskelus Harezu Tmuras Ola, and he's explaining Rabbi Meir. Says Rabbi Meir, the way Rashi formulates it, Tfos Lashon Rishon. V'ein Kedusha Chalal Kedusha. You see, Rashi already up front at the very beginning of the sugya points out that the Tfos Lashon Rishon is a result of an absolute irreconcilable contradiction of Ein Kedusha Chalal Kedusha, meaning decide for yourself, is it a Kedushas Ola or is it a Kedushas Shlamin? It can't be both if it's Bazak or Zeh, and therefore you have to choose between the two. Don't just flip a coin, but Tfos Lashon Rishon. So please underline those words, the Ein Kedusha Chalal Kedusha, which Rashi adds here because he wants to emphasize that we have an absolute, what we call a mutually exclusive situation here, where you cannot have both Ola and Shlamin. Why? Because if we're going to say that it's Ola, then it can't become Shlamin. And this is a Bazech or Zeh process. In other words, there's a sequential process over here going on, because Rebbe is not operating with Tolkei Dibur, which makes it into one Dibur, and Tfos Lashon Rishon. Now, fast forward a few lines to the words Dvarim Kayomim. Here, Rashi is addressing himself to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds that both Shlomim and Ola Achal simultaneously. And Rashi says, what do you do with this animal? And that's what we summarized before. Timacher v'yavi b'dmei chetzya olo d'mei chetzya shlomim kein mefurash b'tmur. Then we get to the next Rashi. Hachi garsinon iboiluhu arezu tmurus ola u'shlomim mahu. Mi amrin had the polig Rabbi Meir v'yomer tfos lashon rishon mishum di omer tmuras treizim. He repeated the word tmura twice. V'havi lekinimlach. What does havi lekinimlach mean?
This is if he's read in the first decision.
Okay, I'm going to ask my question again. You'll give me the literal translation of Rashi, but that's not what I'm looking for. Why is it areza kinimlach?
He didn't stop.
Because it's two diburim, Rabosai. That's the main point that Rashi wants to convey to us. Why do we introduce nimlach here? Because it's two separate diburim. He said tmura, tmura. And if it's tmura, tmura, the first tmura contradicts and deflects the second tmura. And then we're going to call it nimlach. Again, nimlach is a term that could be very confusing because it sounds like, you know, it's a psychological comment and observation that he changed his mind. But basically what we're saying is that in Hilchas Dibur, he changed his mind, meaning the second Dibur contradicts the first Dibur because they're two different Diburim. Says Rashi, Aval Hacha, Diomar Tmuras Ola Ushlamim. So he didn't repeat the same lashon, the complete lashon of Tmura with regard to Shlamim. So who can write the text without looking in Rashi? Again, if you cheated, you're in trouble here. But if you haven't looked at, what's Rashi going to now tell us? That if he leaves out the second Tmura, what do we have here? One Dibur. And that's exactly what Rashi says. Chad Dibur. Now, if it's Chad Dibur, then it's going to generate both Kedushas simultaneously. In other words, the contradiction is because once you have the first Kedusha, namely Ola, you don't have any room to clone and to attach a Kedusha Shlomin. But if Lu Yitzur, I can generate both Kedushas simultaneously, that would be no problem. And according to this side, even Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabbi Yossi that it's both Ola and Shlomim. How do we do that? How do we get both Kedushas of Ola and Shlomim to be Chal simultaneously on the same Behema? The answer is we have to circumvent the problem of two different Diburim. We have to collapse and integrate the two Diburim into one. How can you do that? The answer is by dropping what? Dropping the second word Tmura. If he omits the second word Tmura, then we can integrate, even according to Rabbi Meir, both Diburim into one. And therefore he's generating both Kedushos, both Ola and Shlomim simultaneously. Oh, Dilma, no. The Gemara says that's not true. Rabbi Meir is still going to continue arguing against Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Tfos Lashon Rishon. What does he mean, Rashi? Tfos Lashon Rishon.
Even when he said them both perfectly clearly,
it still what? Wait, no, again, Shmuel, you're skipping a step. Even when he said both of them together, it's one Dibur. In other words, the first side in Rashi explaining why here Rabbi Meir would agree to Rabbi Yossi is the Chad Diburahu, and therefore they're both Chal B'Vasachas. The second side is to say no Tfos Lashon Rishon because they still remain what? Two different Diburim. And now if the two different Diburim, well, as soon as he completes his first Dibur, namely Harei Zu Tmuras Ola, it becomes Kadosh B'Kedushas Ola. And that's what Rashi says, U'Pashta Kedushas Ola B'Kula. You know what Rashi means here by Pashta Kedushas Ola B'Kula? He means that it's not as if he was Magdish half the animal as Ola, leaving the other half to become Shlomim. Oh, no. He said, I raise you towards Ola. That means the entire Ganze Behema is, as one entity, indivisible, is Ola. So that's called Pashta Kula Kedusha Bekula. Kedushas Ola Bekula. Vesulo Asi Shlomim Vechayli Alev. Now you can't graft on a Kedusha Shlomim onto Kedusha Ola. Once the animal is completely an Ola, you're out of it. But Lachzos Mahu? You know, even if I'm going to tell you that I grant you that Pashta Kedushas Ola Bekula, and why is that? Because there's one independent Dibur called Harei Zu Tmuras Ola, and that itself registers as a complete Dibur, it's a complete Lashon, but Amar Harei Zu Be'ema Lechetzia Li Ola Ulishlamimai. Hi, in this case, when he says that it's going to be Chetzio La Ola and Chetzio L'Shlomim, Chada Chad Diburahu. And what does Rashi mean when he says Chad Dibur?
If he means Chad Dibur, then you...
Then both Kedushas are going to be Chalwen? Simultaneously. Do you follow, Rabbi? Say over and over again, whenever we talk about one Dibur or two Diburs, what we're talking about is one Dibur means the first Chalos is Chal, via or by as a result of the first Dibur? Or do we say no? It's all one long Dibur, and now the two Kedushas can be Chal simultaneously. How can you come up with a case of Chad Dibura? So the Gemara vacillates on that. Maybe if you leave out the second word Tmura, and he says, Hareza Tmuras Olu Shlomin, that makes it into one Dibur, and therefore both Kedushas will be Chal simultaneously. Or no, we're going to say no, that there's a separate Dibur unto itself, independent, Hareza Tmuras Olu, and at that moment the Kedushas Chal on the Ganze Behema, as an Olu, there's no room for adding a Kedushas Shlomin here, the, you know, the Ein Po Makom Panui, it's completely Tafus. But how about the case of chetzi oliolu shlamin? A chetzi for this, a chetzi for that. Here, for sure, it's one dibur. And if it's one dibur, then both what?
One dibur, both.
Both kiddushas will be chal?
Simultaneously.
You got it, Ben. Now you're my man. I worked very hard in this sugya. But I think I got it. I think I got it. Okay. Now, at this point, who's going to enter front stage here? Now we're going to get Rabbi Yehuda. Where is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who told us that if the Kohen has two machshavos for this karbon, let's say, for example, at the time of the Shechita, so he has one machshava of chutz l'zmano and another machshava of chutz l'mkoma. Correct? Which means that he thinks that, you know what? He's going to eat a kezias of the boss of this karbon tomorrow. That's out of its time range. That's called chutz l'zmano. And at the same time, he has another machshava. He's going to eat one kezias outside the azara. That's called chutz l'mkoma. So the question is this carbon pigul? So the Chachamim say it's not pigul because we integrate both machshavos, they both register, and there's one machshavi of chutzlum komo. The machshavi of chutzlum komo tells me the carbon is possible, but it's not pigul. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no, it depends. What did he say first? What machshava came out of his mind or out of his mouth first? If he started with machshava al menas lechol kezayis basa chutz lizmano, then automatically at that point it becomes pigul. So Abaye turns to Rav and he says, I don't understand. According to you, Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda's shita makes no sense, because Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand seems to be saying like Rabbi Meir that tfos lashon rishon. What did he say first? He said lechol kezayis min abasar chutz lizmano and tfos lashon rishon, and now it is what? It is pigul. Hare shchita dechilachtos dami. Here in the case of shchita, he's really generating two psulim or two machshavos simultaneous. This is like your case, Abaye, where he said, let half of it be ola, half of it be shlamim, and in that case, both are chal, and it's both shlamim and ola at the same time here too. Why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that no, since he started with the machshav of chutz l'zmano, it's going to be already pigul? Wait a second, he's saying about one kezayis that it should be chutz l'zmano. He's saying about another kezayis that it should be chutz l'mkomo. And that's like splitting the animal into two halves. And according to you, Abaye, even Rabbi Meir agrees that we drop the ball on tfos lashon rishon if he has two halves of the animal and both kedushas can be chal simultaneously. It's all integrated into one dibur. We don't say tfos lashon rishon. Upligia, despite the fact that we can make an absolute analogy between these two machshavos of chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mkomo, and the case of half ola, half shlamim, plead, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he holds that we cannot combine both machshavos and recognize and validate both of them, but rather tfos lashon rishon, and the lashon rishon here was to eat a kezayis min abasa chutz l'zmano, and therefore it's pigul. And obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is holding like Rabbi Meir, and he's applying the principle of tfos lashon rishon. Says Rava, you see that tfos lashon rishon applies even in a case where he's splitting the two lashonos, and there's one dibur vis-a-vis one part of the object and another dibur vis-a-vis the other. We're still going to say tfos lashon rishon. And now again, we're going to have to understand why is that so. But before we get to that question, let's just make sure we understand Rava's objection to Abaye. Anybody want to comment on what I said? Ask me any questions. Should I go over it? Will we have it clear?
Maybe should go over it again.
Let's go over it one more time. The Rava is setting up what I call a mirror image here between two cases and two different scenarios. But he says they're a mirror image one or the other. Scenario number one is when the man says, he declares about one animal, a behemoth chulin, and he says chetziot muris olav chetziot muris shlamim. That's one case, which Abai insists, even Rabbi Meir would agree that there's no tfos lashon rishon here, because both lashonos are valid on two different parts of the behema. And the other case is a case where he started his shchita with a machshava to eat a kezayis basa chutz l'zmano, and then he went ahead and he had a machshava to eat a different kezayis of this basa chutz l'mkomo. And in this case, we have lachtos. Lachtos means where there are two diburim. One is a dibur of a pigul, that's called chutz l'zmano. The other is a dibur of psul without pigul, that's called chutz l'mkomo. And both diburim can be merged into one to generate two different kedushas. One kedusha, so to speak. Well, actually, I'm sorry about using the word kedushia, but two different psulim, I would say. One psul is vis-a-vis chutz l'zmano, and another psul is vis-a-vis chutz l'mkomo. We're going to split the two, such that one is vis-a-vis one kezayis basar, the other is vis-a-vis another kezayis basar. It's like the case where half the animal should be ola, half the animal should be tmura. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda should have accepted the sheet of the Chachamim in this case, that it's not pigul. Why? Because the machshava of chutz l'mkomo is valid. Well, what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? No, we're going to take the first lashon, the first machshava. The first machshava was chutz l'zmano, we're going to make it into pigul. Wait a minute, what do you mean you're making it into pigul? That's because you're invalidating and ignoring, right, turning it into zero, the other machshava of chutz l'mkomo. What right do you have to do that? There's one kezayis this way and one kezayis this way. And therefore, the two machshavos are not sosros one of the other. The whole premise that underlies tfos lashon rishon is the mutually exclusive relative relationship between the first lashon and the second lashon. Like we said before, if it's already ola in the first lashon, it can't become shlomin. Here too, if you, Rabbi Yehuda argues, if you accept that his machshava was chutz l'zmano, it's already pigul, you can't undermine that pigul when he has a machshava chutz l'mkomo afterwards. Says the Gemara, but I don't understand. This is like the case of lachtos, where he combines both into one by splitting them in two directions, and he says, lachtos, let half of it be ola, half be shlomo. Here also, let one kezayis basar be subject to chutz l'zmano, another kezayis basar chutz l'mkomo, both mashavas should register. Amole, Abai says, mi savris eino l'shchita l'basov. Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'yad sov. U'mishna senu di'omar, simon rishon chutz l'zmano, and simon sheni chutz l'mkomo. Okay. You know, in Shkita you need to shecht how many simonim? Two simonim. Now, how does this work? Let me offer two possibilities. One possibility is to say that the Shkita registers only when he finishes these two simonim. So even though he actually cuts the first simon first and the second simon second, nothing happened until he cuts the second simon, because he has to cut two simon. That's called ein l'shchita ela basof, meaning the shchita becomes shchita as far as the halach is concerned. Forget about the physics of it, the physicality of it, at the moment that he finishes the second simon. Ah, if that be the case, then you know what? When he started his shchita with the first simon, he had a machshava of chutz l'zmano. When he got to the second simon, he had a machshava of chutz l'mkomo. Is in that case, if you maintain ein l'shchita l'basov, that any machshava that he had at the time that he severed the first simon is suspended until he finishes cutting the second simon, so then you're right, Rafa. Your objection would be absolutely correct. Because in the framework of ein l'shchita l'basof, then both machshavos would be chal simultaneously. At what point will both machshavos be chal?
The first one.
When, again, if you're holding that the first simon is nothing because ein l'shchita ela basov, when does the shchita register on the Richter scale? I'll be then when he finishes the second simon. So then, Rava, you are saying something perfectly correct, because at what point would the first machshava that he had at the first simon register and convert the shchita into shchita shelo lizmano, chutz lizmano? Only when he finishes the second seam. Well, by the time he finished the second seam, he had another machshava, namely what?
Chutzim
Kol. Both machshavos will be chal simultaneously, and then it becomes like the case of chetzia ola, chetzia shlamim, where even within the framework of Tfos Lashon Rishon, everybody agrees that in this case we're not going to say Tfos Lashon Rishon, because the simultaneity of both chalosim, of both the Kedusha Sol and the Kedusha Shlamim, obviates and circumvents the problem of Tfos Lashon Rishon, because there is no Lashon Rishon. They're both Chal B'Vasachas. So to hear, Rabbi Yehuda would have to agree that there's no Tfos Lashon Rishon in the case where he had a Machshavas Chutz Lizmano during the first Simon, and when he got to the second Simon he had a Machshavas Chutz Lizmano, both of those Machshavas will register simultaneously, because Ein L'Shchita Ela L'Vasov. When is the Shchita called the Shchita? Only when he finishes the second Simon. At that moment, he had a simultaneity of Chutzim Zvano, Chutzim Komo. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there's no Tfos Lashon Rishon.
Because only one of those is Pigo. I mean, Chutzim.
Again, you know, once you integrate both, then there's no Pigo. Again, what's the power here to undermine and neutralize Pigel? The fact that they're both Chal B'Vasachas. Right?
But we have...
Do you follow? Again, if you would accept Tfos Lashon Rishon, then this Pigel is already Chal, says Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no room for Shalom B'Mkomo to undermine and neutralize the Pigel. But if you can have both Chutz Zvano and Chutz Komo simultaneously, Abai says, yes, in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that both are Chal together. If both are Chal together, then the Shalom B'Mkomo undermines and neutralizes the Pigel. Go ahead, Ben. Ask your question.
I'm just trying to understand the layers, because one is bona fide Pigel, the other one isn't. And is there an override, or is they...
No, the law is like this, that if two machshavas register, then it's not pigel. Uh-huh. You can only have pigel when there's one machshava that registers, and that's called chutz l'mkomo.
Okay.
I'm sorry, chutz l'zmano, I meant to say.
Chutz l'zmano, okay.
But what happens if he goes in and he finishes the shchita with a machshava of chutz l'mkomo, both machshavas are valid, right, this is before Rabbi Yehuda, both machshavos are valid, and therefore it blows it out of the pigel box, out of the pigel water. It's not in the pigel water. Why? Because you now have an added mixture of chutz l'mkomo.
It's still possible without chorus, but it's...
Correct, it's possible without chorus. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no, Tfos Lashon Rishon. He started by declaring chutz l'zmano. That in and of itself generates the status of pigel. Nothing, no machshava that he has subsequently can undermine and neutralize the same pigel that was already chal. Tfos Lashon Rishon. However, says Abai, there is another principle that could operate in which we would not apply Tfos Lashon Rishon, and that's when the both chalos are simultaneously. That's called lachtos. That half the bema should be ola, half the bema should be shlomim simultaneously. And in such a case, even Rav Meir, who holds Tfos Lashon Rishon, would validate both tmuros, meaning it has the tmura to generate ola and tmura to generate shlomim. Everything is chal b'vasachas, says Rava. But what about the case of Rav Yehuda, where he has two machshavos, and Rav Yehuda insists we're going to go after the first machshava, but why can't we assume that both machshavos are chal simultaneously? Comes along Abai and he says, you're right. Both machshavos would be chal simultaneously, and your comparison to lachtos in the case of chetzia ola, chetzia shlom would be correct, would be on the ball, on the mark, if you hold yeshna l'shchita, ein l'shchita ela Livasof. Ein l'shchita l'besof means that the shchita as an avodas hakarbon is only clinched when he finishes the second simon. So at that moment in time, when the shchita is called the shchita, he has two machshavos. He has the machshava of chutz zman and chutz mkoma. And Rabbi Yehuda would here agree that it's out of the ballpark. It's you take it out of the water. You blow it out of the water of pigul, because machshava of chutz mkoma registers. So when does Rabbi Yehuda say the machshava chutz mkoma doesn't register? When he starts with the machshava chutz lezmano, and it's already pigul. But the pigul here is going to be suspended until what point? It's hanging in midair. When will it actually grab onto the carpet and passle it as a pigul? Only when he finishes the second simon. When he finished the second simon, what did he get in under the wire? Another machshava what? Chutz lezmano. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda would certainly agree in this case. That's like the chetzia ol, chetzia this. And both are chal simultaneously, shalom al yisro. But says Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold yeshno l'shchita mitchila v'yadsof, that shchita is a process, and both parts of the process, meaning simon aleph and simon beis, each register. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that if yeshno l'shchita mitchila v'yadsof, in the very moment he had the machsheves chutz lizmano, that machshava already registers, and in Yiddish we say tu zayf means it generates a psul of pigul. U'mishna senu, and our Mishnah in which Rabbi Yehuda says tfos lashon rishon, and it becomes pigul because he started with the machshavas pigul, the Omar, he declares the following, the shochet simon rishon, I'm going to eat the kezayis chutz lizmano. Simon Sheni, I'm going to eat the Kezayis Chutz Mkoma. What happens the very moment that the first Simon is cut and he says Chutz Mzmano? It's Pigul. And once it was Kovea Pigul, then there's no room to undermine the status of the carbon as Pigul. That's called Yeshno L'Shchita Mitchila V'Yatzol.
So they have the same, they agree on the concept of Pigul, you know, with one Machshavas or two. What they're disagreeing on is what is a shechita.
Correct.
Abaye says the first simon and Yehuda says the second one.
I would say the following, that Abaye is holding here in Yeshna l'shechita mitchil atzof, listen carefully, that shechita is A plus B. Not, he's not saying that one simon is shechita, that's ridiculous. You need two simonim. Abaye is not denying it. But Yeshna l'shechita mitchil atzof, it's not that it's A plus B, but rather it's A plus B. Did you hear the difference between the two? A plus B means only when you have the two simonim together, then it's shchita. Then it emerges, what emerges is the same shchita. But A plus B means that shchita is really a conglomeration. It's the
they each have equal weight, but
correct.
Both together.
Correct. It's the, what word am I looking for? It's the arithmetic correlation or combination. But I'm looking for a word, and I'm finding it.
Property?
Yeah, something like that. And it's the first simon and the second simon. So therefore, the pigul is already registers on this shchita after the first simon. Again, he's going to have to finish the shchita, but nevertheless, already at that moment in time, you know what's locked into motion here is the machshavas pigul. And at this point, Rava is going to quote a Mishnah Menachos about Kmitza. I don't know if we have time to go through this. I'll just point out one thing, that Kmitza in Menachos is the beginning of a four-step process, just as Shchita in Zvachim is the beginning of a four-step process, right? So we know, we're very familiar with Zvachim because we're learning with Zvachim. So it's Shchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. In the case of a Karban Mincha, it's Kmitza. So that means the Yisrael who wants to offer this Mincha, he brings the flour, and the Kohen receives the flour, and he does Kmitza. He takes off, let's say, a fistful. I'm just, you know, don't take me literally, but a fistful of flour. Now he has to be Makadish it, so he puts it into a Klisharis. Okay, that's parallel to Kabbalas Adam in Zvachim. Then we get to the third stage, which is identical in both Zvachim and Menachos, that's called Holacha. And the fourth stage, which is also almost identical, that's called Haktara, meaning when you put it on the Mizbeach. Just in the case of Zvachim, you put the Dam on the Mizbeach. In the case of Menachos, you put the Kmitz onto the Mizbeach. The flour goes onto the Mizbeach. And it's interesting that Rabbi Yehuda, who has this principle that what was the first machshava, will apply that same principle in Masechta Menachos to a case where at the beginning of the process, meaning at the Kbitza, he had a machshava of chutz l'zmano, and then afterwards he had a machshava of chutz l'mkomo. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say pigel, meaning tfos lashon rishon. And what the Gemara is going to say here now, according to Rava, is that in the case of Kmitza, for sure it's considered like Lachzos Dami. That's for sure like the case in Tmura, where he says half should be Ola and half should be Shlamim. And yet Pligi, and yet Rabbi Yehuda still disagrees, and according to Abaye, that makes no sense. Because again, in the case of a Karban Mincha, he had a machshava that the kmitza should be for the sake of eating a kezayis chutzuzmano, and for the sake, as a subsequent machshava, of eating another kezayis chutzumkomo. That's for sure splitting it into two, and both are chal simultaneously. We don't have a principle called yeshna l'shchita mitchila vad sof. We don't have any such parallel in the case of Menachos. And therefore, you are by you resting your case. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? And he says Tos Lashon Rishon in the case of Shechita. That's because he had Simon Aleph and Simon Beis. And the old Yeshu Shechita B'Tchil Vatzof, he had a Machsheves Pigul during the Shechita of Simon Aleph, and that already determines and generates a Chalos Pigul, and that cannot be removed. But in the case of Kmitza, where at the time of Kmitza he had both Machshavos of Chutz Zman and Chutz Mkomo, then in this case, he's got a chutz l'zmano on one kizayis, he has a chutz l'mekomo on another kizayis. Both are certainly chal together as one with a simultaneity. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say tfos lashon rishon and it becomes pigel? That's what's going to be in a problem. And then the Gemara is going to introduce Lavona, and the Gemara is going to say that just like in Shechita Zvachim there are two simonim, and therefore tfos lashon rishon means that he had a machshava of chutz l'zmano with the first siman, so too there's something absolutely parallel in Menachos where there's a two-stage process, and that's called kometz and lavona. Lavona was a certain kind of a thing that they put on top of the mincha, and they ate the what's called shiari mincha after they did the kometz, but they still needed haktara on the lavona. And he had a machshav of chutz l'zmano at the point of kometz mincha and a chutz l'mkomo at the point of lavona, of kometz lavona and the haktaras halavona. So therefore Abaye is going to insist that even in the case of Menachos we have Simon Aleph and Simon Beis, and it's not simultaneous. But the bottom line of Asugya is that Abaye still insists, and he's not willing to drop the ball on this, that it's always that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir of Tfos Lashon Rishon are both always going to admit, they're going to confess the crime, that if there's simultaneity, because you can split it up into two, and they could both be chal at the same time, then we don't say tfos lashon rishon. The problem with tfos lashon rishon is that there's no simultaneity, that the first dibur does what it has to do, and therefore it registers, and then there's no room for the second dibur to be chal.
Obviously, left this for after the shiur because I didn't want to bring
yeah,
ideas.
The shiur's not over yet. As long as you're talking, Ben, then the shiur keeps the show goes on.
In a different context, there's pluta de dibura in a totally different context. Pluta de dibura, where a person brings a testimony. Oh. I know that the husband is dead because I murdered him.
He's not believed on the second half, so we'll accept him on the first.
I'm wondering, is there any way that could be brought into this discussion where we're not going to accept this machsheva, but what's up the other?
Well, again, it's a funny kind of thing. You could ask it as a stira, but it certainly doesn't support our suit, because in Palgin and Diburu, what we're going to say is we're going to accept what he said at the beginning without allowing to what he said at the end to torpedo and undermine what he said at the beginning. Here, what we're saying is that it's two separate Diburim, and since they're battling because both of them cannot be chal simultaneously. But it, you see, in Palgita Dibura, it wouldn't matter one iota which he said first. Like, let's say, for example, the classical case is Ploni Ravani Litzoni. So he could have said, Nirvesi Litzoni Liploni. You know, even if he would switch the order around, we would still say Palgita Dibura, if you follow what I'm saying. The unique dimension of Tfos Al Shen Rishon is that once a Dibur is chal, then it takes over, and there's no room for the contradictory Dibur to, as we said before, to be cloned on top of this entity, you know, that has chalos. Palgita Dibur is a different story. Palgita Dibur is when a person gives a testimony that has two different elements to it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're allowed to take half the story and leave out the other half of the story. You know, how many of the details is it an all or nothing kind of proposition? There's a certain similarity, but I think it would be faulty to try to
That's why I waited to the end of the show. I didn't want to ask it during the show.
No, it's always good to hear a question. So you have this to photocopy.
Yes, I'll photocopy this.
I just want to see where we ended here. Let me just read this line in the Gemara. Hare Kmitza. Okay, so this we saw Dilchi Lachzos Dami Upligi. So we find that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he applies false Lashon Rishon even in the case of Kmitza. So Abai says Hasav Nami. There too, you can split it into Bazecher Zeh. The Omer had the Machsheves Chutzus Mano in the Kometz Mincha, meaning that at the time of the Kometz Mincha, he wanted the Achilas Kizayis of Shiorya Mincha to be Chutzus Mano, and that already generates Pigul, and then when he was up to the Akhtar of the Kometz Levona, at that point he made a declaration of Sheyochal Kizayis Chutz Limkom. That's what we have. At this point, Rava raises an objection based on the sugya of Minchas Chote.
You want to be alone?
So the case that we're dealing with is where a person goes into the Migdash and he's Tomei, or he's tamei and he eats kachim, he takes a shvus eidus, a shvus bitui, and in all these cases he brings a carbon all of the yored, which means that he brings a chatas in a case where he's very, very poor, he's an anisha baniyam, he's destitute, so then he'll bring what's called a minchas chote. That's the lowest level. In other words, instead of bringing the classical chatas behema or shtei torim and shnei bnei yona, he's so poor that he brings a minchas chote. Now, the difference between a minchas chote and all the other menachos is that all other menachos have a levona. So it's a two-stage process. He could have had a machshava chutzus mano at the time of the kovetz mincha, and then a subsequent machshava chutzum komo at the time of the kometz levona, the haktaras halavona. And then we understand very well Rabbi Yehuda's principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon. But, says Rabbi, I have one case, one mincha on the constellation, in the constellation of Menachos, where there is no Lavona, and that's called a Minchas Chote. You know, Lavona sort of beautifies the Mincha. We don't want to beautify the Mincha of someone who is in grave violation of such a criminal act. Vareko, it's the Minchas Chote, Leka Lavona Ba'adei, there is no Lavona. Upligi, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda insists that the first Machshava is Kovea as Pigul, and we're going to apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon, even though there is no two-stage process. You can't say that both Machshavas can be Chal, this Machshava vis-a-vis the Kometz, and this Machshava vis-a-vis the Lavona. There simply is no Lavona, and yet Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he applies Tfos Lashon Rishon, and the Mincha is Pigul. So the Gemara answers, in the name of Abaye, for the defense of Abaye, lo pligi, that Enochinami, that Rabbi Yehuda would not accept he would not continuously argue and apply Tfos Lashon Rishon in the case of Minchas Chote. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, I'll give you an alternative answer to defend Abai Imtim Saloma Pligi, even if I assume that Rabbi Yehuda would still insist on Tfos Lashon Rishon in the case of Minchas Chote. And therefore you're going to argue that simultaneously he has both machshavos, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda should agree that in this case we do not apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon. And the answer is pligi bepsios. And the Gemara says that it takes him a while until he gets up to the karmat. This halacha, until he gets up to the mizbeach, this halacha, and he takes the first step and he makes a declaration of Kizayis Chutzum Zmano. He gets the next step and he says Kizayis Chutzum Komo. So Rabbi Yehuda says the very moment he took that first step and he made the declaration of Chutz Zmano, that Chalos Pigel is Chal, and you cannot arrest or undermine the Chalos Pigel. Rav Simi Bar Ashi Masni Kirabaye. Rav Simi Bar Ashi accepted the Braisa and interpreted like Abaye that Rabbi Meir only insisted in the case of Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim that the halacha of Tfos Lashon Rishon applies and it becomes a Tmuras Ola without becoming a Tmuras Shlomim. But in a case of Lachtos, where he says that half of the animal should be Shlomim and half should be Ola, in such a case, Rabbi Meir would be Modeh that you don't apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon. But Rav Huna Bar Nosson Masnik in the Rava, he assumed like Rava that even in the case of Chetzio Ola Chetzio Shlomim, Rabbi Yehuda would still insist that we apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon and becomes Ola and not Shlomim.